What a night. An all-time classic Champions League night. Newcastle were headed for the round of 16, but now they're out. The Magpies led, but eventually lost to Milan. And they're out too, as Paris Saint-Germain got the point they needed to qualify at Dortmund. Porto's 5-3 Shakhtar victory sees them through, while Celtic and Antwerp enjoyed extraordinary late wins. The group stage is done and in style. We'll do our best to break down the drama on Match Day 6. I'm Rob Daly, and I'm joined by European football expert Chris Parrott tonight. Chris, wow.
Wow. Yeah, I'm almost lost for words, which is never a good thing for a podcast. But I mean, amazing. The final night of the group stage, as we know it, before the expansion next season of the Champions League, and didn't it deliver? I mean, the way that Group F ebbed and flowed, at one point Newcastle were going through, at one point Paris Saint-Germain ultimately were going through, at one point Milan were going out of Europe altogether, now they're in the Europa League. To the last whistle, you didn't know what was going to happen, and also some amazing goals in that section, but some extraordinary defending and goalkeeping as well.
Okay, so the scores from Wednesday night. Group E, Atletico 2, Lazio 0, Celtic 2, Feyenoord 1. Group F, Dortmund 1, Paris 1, Newcastle 1, Milan 2. Group G, Leipzig 2, Young Boys 1, Savenas Vesta 2, Manchester City 3. And in Group H, Porto 5, Shakhtar 3, Antwerp 3, Barcelona 2. Going into the final night of Group F, Dortmund knew they were already through, but which other team would join them? Here's how it all unfolded on Match Day Live.
Gordon's moved inside, collects it. Nobody's coming to close him down. So he finds the pass to the right. Now Joelinton! Drives it home magnificently for Newcastle! Precise moment, they can dream of the round of 16.
Paul Crooks there, plays it across goal and turned in. It's Adeyemi. Adeyemi finds the corner and Dortmund lead. And Paris are staring down the barrel here. Breaks towards the edge of the area and that shot smashed in. Paris strike back. Warren Zaire-Emery with a fabulous strike. They weren't behind for long. 10 gone in the second half. It's 1-1.
Christian Pulisic with the equaliser for Milan, and that gives them a chance of reaching the round of 16. A stunner for most inside St James's Park.
Here's Isak now, left corner of the penalty box. Tees up Bruno Guimaraes, who strikes it against the bar! Marvellous save by Meunier. He tipped it onto the crossbar. Bruno Guimaraes came so close to giving Newcastle the lead again. Okafor will counter. There are four Milan players up and there are only three defenders back here for Newcastle. Jovic, can they pick the right pass? Okafor, Chukwueze scores! It's a marvellous goal on the counter-attack for Milan! Samuel Chukwueze has just come on and he's broken Newcastle hearts! And last season's semi-finalists are still alive! Milan have beaten Newcastle by 2-1 and will play in the Europa League in the spring. For Newcastle, the European campaign ends here.
Yeah, and the goals fill up half the story in the end. Unbelievable drama across both games in Group F. We'll speak to Stuart Gardner, who you heard on commentary for Dortmund Paris. But Richard's with us now, having covered Newcastle-Milan.
where do you want to start?
I don't know, actually. I don't know where
I'll
to start.
I tell you what.
You look exhausted, Richard.
Well, you know, you've got to put something into these things. Not that I've run 15 kilometres like the players. I mean, for Newcastle, the energy is a point. Because right at the end, Fikayo Tomori ran the length of the field to try and score the third goal for Milan, having provided a wonderful defensive clearance in the first half to stop Newcastle taking the lead back in the 20th minute. That kind of energy, that was not at Newcastle's disposal at the end. I know Milan were winning, But I mean, in the end, the energy that Milan have, they played fewer games, they've had more players, they've been able to mix it around a bit more. They had more in the tank than Newcastle, and that played a part tonight.
It helps when you have one of the best goalkeepers in the world as well, because both teams knew that they had to win, which is always perfect in terms of a setup. And boy, did they just go for it. And the way that you felt that was the moment when Bruno Guimarães had that shot and Magnon flung himself to the left and tipped it onto the bar. And at that moment, Newcastle did have that energy. It was pouring off the stands as well. And you think if that goes in, then maybe they can see it through. But Milan on the counter-attack were always dangerous all night long. And you thought, once he'd made that save, maybe the next goal will come for Milan. And they had their moment, and the finish was memorable from the substitute having just come on. And as you called it perfectly, Richard, we heard your commentary, it completely deflated Newcastle and they were never able to recover.
That save was remarkable, wasn't it? Because I don't think he could see Bruno Guimarães when he struck it, or very little of him. Bruno had curled it around defenders quite deliberately, using them as a shield. So I think Meunier sort of set off and began the dive, hoping to see the ball on the other side. And so it came at kind of chest height, and he reacted and flung the arm up and tipped it from a strange position, really, up onto the crossbar. It was an extraordinary bit of athletic improvisation and one that, you know, played a big difference. I'm not saying it's possible Milan could have scored late in the game as it was, but it did change the dynamic because Newcastle had to keep pushing for it, and the space behind them was evident in the closing minutes.
OK, let's try and take everyone through the timeline of the game, and we'll bring in Stuart at this point, who was on the Dortmund-Paris Saint-Germain game. And Stuart, I still don't quite know how your game was 0-0 at the break.
It really was quite remarkable, I have to say. I mean, so many opportunities, particularly there's a spell in the middle of that half where there were four clear chances for Paris. They kept going wide, they kept missing. Kang In Lee put a great chance wide. Mbappe around the goalkeeper. Brilliant goal line clearance from Sula. Barcola cut
that.
In,
yeah.
Hit the post. And also, Kulumuani went clean through, stabbed it wide of the far post. But Dortmund started the half well and ended the half well and were always a threat. But Paris would have been wondering at half time how they hadn't scored, because they weren't just chances, they were outstanding chances, and they must have been a little bit worried.
And the problem for them was that the Newcastle had taken the lead in extraordinary style, Richard.
Yeah, it was a brilliant goal. Gordon found himself in space. Milan had committed a few beyond the ball. Gordon was in space centrally, found Lewis Miley, the 17-year-old that Newcastle kept faith with today, despite the fact that more senior players had come back from injury. Miley took his time, picked a lovely pass to Joel Linton on the edge of the box. He took one step with the ball and just thumped it into the top corner. And he stood there, Cantona-esque, looking around St. James's Park, which was utter delirium around him. The whole place was going off, as they say. That was 12 minutes before half-time. So with the other game 0-0, Newcastle winning, they were going to finish above Paris on head-to-head and go into the round of 16 of the Champions League itself. So it was all going Newcastle's way at the break.
And as they walked off, the PA at St. James's Park said, half-time score. As the players were still on the pitch, just to tell everybody, it's 0-0 in Germany. Huge roar as they went down the tunnel, thinking,
because they knew that was enough.
And you always sense that this was going to go very, very deep until we worked out who was going to go through with Dortmund. Thus it transpired. But at that stage, the way that Newcastle were playing, and as you heard from Stuart, the way that game was going, it felt like it was going to be their night. They had a bit of luck because Paris might have scored, but hadn't. But their performance was absolutely electric, and they were doing their part.
Newcastle deserved it at half time, didn't they? They were the better team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think they were the better side probably for the hour until something of a sucker punch, really. The goal for 1-1.
Well, yeah, but it got better before it got worse for Newcastle, because with Dortmund taking the lead, their grip on the round of 16 was kind of stronger. But the goal, yeah, I think it came from a set piece. Newcastle failed to clear, and Giroud was able to pick out Pulisic with a remarkable little horizontal pass across the edge of the goal area. The initial ball down the left, I felt like Liao might have been offside in real time, but was quickly proved wrong by the semi-automated offside. He was just on. he got it across, and Giroud managed to pick out Pulisic, and that was the equaliser. And you did get a sense that the big picture was really starting to change shape.
I think it was sort of an 8-minute spell where it went from really, really good for Newcastle, because Stuart Word had broken through. They were celebrating in the stands when Dortmund led through Adeyemi. But, of course, Paris was swift with the equaliser.
Yes, 51 minutes, Adeyemi smuggled one home after being played in by Füllkrug. 1-0, great scenes. But just 5 minutes later, Warren Zaïre-Emery, and I have to say, what a player this lad is. The 17-year-old, the latest French superstar. And he ended up being man of the match. A great finish for 1-1. And after that, the game changed completely. Mbappe really came to life. He also had a goal which was ruled out for offside. Goodness me, that was tight. It changed things. But Zaïre-Emery, wow, what a player.
Yeah, you did think, we thought Mbappe had won it at that point for Paris. And then that would have meant matters in at St James's Park were kind of irrelevant to who was going through. But of course, Milan would dig deep and eventually win, Richard.
Well, yeah, that was the moment then that Bruno Guimaraes had that shot that was tipped onto the crossbar. So at that point, it was still in the balance. And had Newcastle gone 2-1 up with the other game at 1-1, Newcastle would have been going through to the round of 16. So it would have gone back their way. But with Manuel having made that save and then Paris beginning to take control, Newcastle were pushing forward, but in a way that was somewhat without the thrill and the adrenaline of the first hour of the game.
Exactly.
They were tired, and there were big gaps behind
them. There was a brilliant bit of Richard's commentary, by the way, where it was Newcastle needed to score 2-1 down after Chipmore Ways had scored. And Dubravka went forward for a corner. Mm-hmm. AC Milan counterattacked, and you were just shouting, "There's no one in the goal. There's no one in the goal."
And then Hernandez went full goal from the halfway line and dribbled his shot wide. And then Chukwueze was there next to him saying,
"I'm going to score. Just passed to me.
Just passed to me." And Pioli was going potty because he thought, if Newcastle come back and score now, whatever happens,
They're third in the group.
So they had Champions League hopes at that stage, but also knowing that potentially they could still finish bottom themselves. This was in the 91st minute. That is how deep the group went. And I mean, it was amazing. And just quickly on the goal, because it was a sensational winner. The more you see it, it started with Florenzi doing some brilliant defending at one end. And then maybe 5 seconds later, Chukwueze, first time shot, the way he curled it beyond Dubravka was a thing of beauty. And it was worthy of winning the game, and it was worthy of extending Milan's European season.
How big was this factor, do you think, Richard? And it was talked about before that Newcastle have used the same players over and over again because of the injuries. And just seeing how things did look a bit leggy defensively in those closing moments.
Yeah, I mean, the sixth game in 19 days since the last international break, their 24th of the season. Well, Milan, it's their 21st tonight. They've played a fair amount too. Not quite as many of late. I think it's probably the last time, given Newcastle's resources now, it's the last time we're probably ever going to be talking about Newcastle struggling for players in their squad, because I think in future years the depth is going to get greater and greater. But the Champions League squad can only be comprised of 25 senior players, and a large chunk of those have been out missing, and Newcastle have had to use the same players repeatedly. Tonight one or two of them came back, but the senior players are tired, and in the last 20-30 minutes that certainly caught up with them.
But I think a whole new generation of Newcastle fans have fallen in love with the Champions League. I mean, it's 20 years since they were last in it, and those 52,000 in St James's Park now will be desperate for its return. And as a club, and almost a new club, you think that they will learn from nights like these, and the yearning to be back will be greater than ever once the dust settles of the disappointment, because as we know, for 30-35 minutes all told, they were heading into the round of 16, and the celebrations there would have been enormous.
I don't know how, but Newcastle have ended up with 5 points.
I know.
One win from all of this. And that win came against Paris Saint-Germain, who, Stuart, I'm sure, I mean, you would have been watching the players at full time. How relieved, how happy were they to have got into the knockout stages again?
Well, you know, what was really strange, the way the game ended, the last 10 minutes, they just kept the ball, but they kept it in their own half, knocking it around to each other because they were so confident that the situation wasn't going to change because they were being told what was happening at Newcastle. They knew that a draw was enough for them. Dortmund was still going for it, even though they were already through. But it was a really strange way to end what had been a high-paced, dramatic game. For the last 10 minutes, they just kept the ball. And they're absolutely delighted to keep up their record of being in the last 16, at least, for the past decade. But after the goal from Adeyemi, there was a great deal of concern. But they got the job done in the end, and that's the thing. No one is going to want to draw them in the last 16.
Yeah, I mean, they've won two games in this group, and we knew it was going to be tight. They're level on points with Milan with eight points in it. And Stuart, to what extent, I mean, we're looking at it, you know, it hasn't been a usual Paris Saint-Germain group stage campaign. They normally top the group, pick up 12 points, say. But this is quite a new team, is it? I mean, you're looking at that team sheet, and there's been a bit of a rebuild that's going to take some time to work into.
Oh, absolutely right. But an exciting team. I mean, Kalimuani and Barcola were really dangerous, the wide players. I keep going on about Zaire Emery, but 17.
That's allowed.
He's a terrific player. He really is. Vitinha, he did well in midfield. And Hakimi was excellent on his return to Dortmund in a Paris shirt. But it is a totally different Paris side. Younger, maybe slightly more energetic. And, of course, Mbappe still very much the man. So they will not be aside that any of the group winners are going to want to draw.
No, that would be bad luck, wouldn't it? In essence, you win your group and then you get drawn with Paris Saint-Germain. On Milan, in terms of, I mean, they were semi-finalists last season, Chris, but given the situation they got themselves in, given to the fact they weren't scoring in games, third Europa League, doesn't feel too bad in the end.
Certainly not from where they were at the beginning of match day six. And I think they will take great heart from the way that they were able to win at Newcastle, and in particular the way that they performed against Paris at home when Rafael Leao and Ruben Loftus-Cheek were immense. I think they've proved to themselves, if they needed to, with this squad, that when they play to their peak in European football, they can compete with the very best. And they will go into the Europa League now, and I would think that they would attack that competition. And you see the strength and depth that they have, and certainly many Milan supporters, despite the, you know, losing Sandro Tonali in the summer, think that this squad in terms of depth is one of the best they've had for a while. And you saw Chukwueze coming off the bench, Jovic coming off the bench, Okafor coming off the bench, and they've got loads and loads of personnel missing. Yeah. So they were elated at full time because they'd won the game. Maybe when they realised that Paris almost lost their game, I know they almost won it. How close they were, yeah. There might be a tinge of disappointment, but I think objective complete from tonight in terms of making sure that they do have European football, a club which demands to be in European competition in the spring.
With Tonali gone and Bennacer injured, he's not far away, but he wasn't in the squad tonight. Loftus-Cheek, Reinders and Musa is an entirely new midfield from last season. So they are, you know, rebuilding. They've invested the money that they received from the Tonali sale to Newcastle in three young players with a lot of energy who are still getting to know one another in that midfield area. So there's a lot more to come from those. When Bennacer gets back, the balance of that midfield may get better. And let's not forget, they didn't score in match days 1, 2 or 3, and they've ended up, you know, coming third in this difficult group. So they've grown into the group, and in the end, given the balance of the two games against Newcastle, where they should have won at San Siro on match day one and it ended up 0-0, and they have won tonight, it's fair enough that they finish above the Magpies.
Now let's hear from Milan defender Fikayo Tomori.
Yeah, I think the overall the performance from us was good, and we're happy. You know, we knew that Newcastle were a strong team, and especially at home, you know, the crowd get behind them, and they're really, really strong with the pressing and stuff. And we just kind of had to feel our way into the game. Obviously, going to go down was a kick in the teeth a little bit, but like you said, we just managed to stay in the game and stay compact, and then we managed to score two goals in the second half, and we won the game. So really happy with that. You know, we defended really well, and then we had the chance to score, and we had a few chances to score actually, but that one went in, and like you said, I think it kind of was a kick in the teeth for them, because I know they were the opposition for the second goal, and we managed to score, so really, really happy. And obviously with Sammy scoring the second goal, which was kind of the killer towards the end of the game, we're really happy with that.
Fikayo Tomori speaking there. quick one now on Dortmund, Stuart, because look, they're probably not in the Bundesliga title race. 11 points off leaders Bayer Leverkusen at present. But some achievement to win this group, isn't it?
Absolutely. To win a group that's got Paris, Milan and Newcastle in it is a great achievement. And you're spot on from what you say. They've lost, what, three of their last five Bundesliga games? They've been knocked out of the German Cup. So the only thing really left for them is this competition. And to win this group, when you consider the squads that Paris, Milan and to an extent Newcastle have got, I think it's a great achievement. And it's understandable that we concentrate a little bit on Paris and Newcastle tonight, but I think it's worth pointing out Dortmund have had a fantastic group campaign. And bear in mind, they lost the first game against Paris and they drew the second one 0-0. They then won three on the spot and they ended up winning the group, which I think is a great achievement.
Certainly is. OK, thank you, Stuart. Thank you, Richard. We'll come back to you a little bit later in the show. Those back-to-back wins against Newcastle.
Yeah.
A massive one, though, Chris, for Dortmund. It's not only Paris Saint-Germain who go through tonight. It's also Porto. They have beaten Shakhtar 5-3, as if we didn't have enough drama, and we're going to get to loads of other stories elsewhere. 5-3, Porto knew they just had to avoid defeat to qualify for the round of 16. Shakhtar knew a win would take them through and join Barcelona in that group. But they got it done, and Galeano, two goals, one assist, pivotal for Porto.
Yeah, and every time you looked up, there was a chance or a goal in this match. It was ridiculous. They always felt in control of the game. Porto had a lead and Shakhtar would get one back and then Porto would immediately go and reassert their authority. And what an occasion for Pepe, who every other week seems to now break his own new record. we'll get on to a teenager scoring in a moment, but to score over the age of 40, a phenomenal achievement, really. And listen, Porto are a team who I think, along with Barcelona, have played more group stage matches than anyone. They know what it's like to come on match day six as a club.
Yeah, 11th time their fate's been decided on the final group
and,
game.
And again, they grace the round of 16, one of the great names of this competition. And Shakhtar, with everything that they are facing as a club, to get 9 points, I think, is some achievement. To take it to match day six is a massive achievement. And again, they will target the Europa League now with real hunger in the new year.
Certainly will. Francisco Conceição, by the way, the son of Sergio Conceição, wearing the number 10, came on and made it 5-2, and definitely, so we thought definitely ended the game. Do you think Shakhtar, I mean, it's a difficult night for Shakhtar. They're out of the competition, playing their home games in Hamburg. But do you think they'll look back with pride on what they've done in this campaign?
Absolutely. To beat Barcelona, what that meant for them. They had a tricky start. They had then, you know, roared back with 3 wins from 4 to finish 6 points clear of Antwerp. I think it is a major achievement. They are a club facing, you know, decisions in terms of personnel that we haven't seen, fortunately, before. There's a lot of young Ukrainian players who are coming to the fore now, and who knows what that will do for their, you know, their careers. But this is a club who are incredibly different to, you know, 10, 20, 4 years ago, frankly. So to have finished third and to extend their European season is a major achievement, particularly in a section where you're with Barcelona and Porto.
Antwerp, what a story, Chris. First Champions League win. They knew they were going to finish fourth no matter what. They're playing Barca, who were trying to win the group.
Yeah.
Barca rotate a little bit. 3 times they took the lead. They conceded a goal in the 91st minute. Guiu's header made it 2-2, and it looked like they were going to be denied that win. 1 minute later, Eleni Kena goes forward and scores the winner. What a night for them, despite the fact they go out.
Yeah, and you, the celebrations told the story, really. That fan base now has a Champions League victory that they remember.
And it's Barcelona.
And it's Barcelona. Yeah, and, OK, they did rest, but they brought on Gundogan, they brought on Pedri. They wanted to win the group. They did win the group in the end, but this was another... I mean, it was a thrilling game. And what that might do for Antwerp in their first season in the Champions League, they can now look back at a positive memory after what has been a difficult campaign and a great moment for Mark van Bommel, a Champions League winner with Barcelona. It's not a bad team to get your first victory.
That's a great point. I sort of lost track of that in all the drama. So Antwerp beating Barcelona by 3-2, but confirmation, Barca group winners, 12 points, better head-to-head record on Porto, also on 12, Shakhtar 9, Antwerp 3. Still to come, we're going to look at the other four matches from Wednesday's drama.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Let's go to Group G now, where Manchester City were looking to make it 6 wins out of 6 in the group stage. Here's how it unfolded with your commentary team of John Bradley and Alvaro Romeo at Cervena Zvezda.
On the edge of the penalty area, running at the defender, tries to go around him, shoots right-footed and scores! What an introduction for the debutant, Micah Hamilton, 20 years old. And Bob goes on his own and goes for goal and scores. It's a stunning individual goal. It's a wonderful moment again. Two picture book goals from two outstanding youngsters. Well, here's an opportunity for Huang, who scores. And the man who has been the liveliest player for Cervena Zvezda all night has given them hope of a result. 15 minutes from time. It's a brilliant left-footed finish from just on the left of the penalty spot. And now the England international midfielder with the opportunity to open his Manchester City account. We've already seen it from Hamilton and from Bob. Now Calvin Phillips goes into the top corner with real calmness, real composure. It's Huang with the corner and it's met beautifully. And it's 3-2 and still they refuse to lie down and give up. It's Alexander Katai, the substitute, who pops up, perhaps the smallest man in there. 6 from 6 wins for Manchester City in the group phase. It was their young guns that did it tonight. It finishes in Belgrade. Cervena Zvezda 2, Manchester City 3.
John and Alvaro on commentary for Manchester City's win at Cervena Zvezda. Great game in the end. When there was nothing riding on it, City already top, Cervena Zvezda was set to finish bottom. But a chance for 20-year-old Micah Hamilton, a name, Chris, that I imagine almost everybody wouldn't, other than City fans who follow the youth team, would have been aware of.
Yeah, and this is part of the next generation of City players who are beginning to come through now. A great story, this, because it was picked up pretty quickly that in 2017, he was a ball boy in a match where Pep Guardiola wasn't happy with how quickly Manchester City were moving it around. So he went and whispered in his ear to say, if that ball goes out of play, get it and give it back to us as quickly as possible.
Well, there's a photo of this.
Yeah. 6 years later, here he is scoring on his senior debut in the Champions League.
Yeah, 20 years of age, the elite development squad captain, and a brilliant goal, brilliant as well. Goal. Oscar Bob getting a cracker. He was the UEFA player of the match, and City have become the first English club to win 8 successive Champions League matches. The other game in the group, Leipzig, were already guaranteed second. Young boys guaranteed third, headed into the Europa League no matter what happened. Brilliant goal from Emil Forsberg to win it. 3 goals in a 5-6 minute spell after half time. Benjamin Sesko scoring for Leipzig, brought into the team. One pulled back, but Forsberg got the winner. So Leipzig go into the draw, of course, already as one of the runners up in the competition. In Group E, there was something on the line between Atletico and Lazio. Avoid defeat for Atletico. They win the group ahead of Lazio. Both teams already through. And Antoine Griezmann, unsurprisingly, Chris, key again.
Yeah, showed their class. I mean, they are a formidable force in this competition, and they are certainly a team that absolutely no one is going to want to face in the round of 16. Both through, of course, before match day 6, but thoroughly professional job from Atleti, who Diego Simeone has his smile back, and he will be relishing whoever they face in February.
And Celtic got their first Champions League win in more than 6 years, led through Luis Palma's penalty. Jakuba Minta on loan from Newcastle, level late for final, looked like it was going to be a familiar story. But Lago Bielka with a header at the end that gave them the victory. And that'll be a relief, I think, for Brendan Rodgers and the club
yeah.
to get a statement European win.
Definitely. I mean, there was a proper bundle of all of the players, as if that goal had secured qualification to something. That's what it meant. And I think it is important, because Brendan Rodgers, all through this group stage, has been saying, listen, our performances are improving. We are a club with a massive history in this competition, but we're talking about 2023 now and where we are. And so to finish it with that win, they are big favourites, of course, to win the title in Scotland and be back next season.
Yeah.
And in 9 months' time, that is now a game and a performance and a victory that they can look back on to try and inspire them.
OK, so here's how the groups looked in the end, and this is how the draw is going to look, actually, on Monday. The seeded teams, so group winners, Bayern, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Sociedad, Atletico, Dortmund, Manchester City, Barcelona, four Spanish teams have gone and won their groups. Runners-ups are unseeded, Copenhagen, PSV, Napoli, Inter, Lazio, Paris Saint-Germain, Leipzig and Porto, of course, two of those clubs qualifying tonight in the UEFA Champions League. Let's switch your attention back to Newcastle and their elimination, and hear from their manager, Eddie Howe.
It wasn't to be today. I thought there were some really good bits in our performance. I thought we were dominant at times. We probably needed the second goal. We didn't defend the two goals well enough. It was very much end-to-end. It was like, you attack, we attack. Both teams, you could see, were desperate to win, and we might very much embrace that. We wanted to win the game, and we were heading, or trying to head for the Champions League. So we had to be brave. They had to be brave. I mean, it made for a very good game. Probably not our best technical performance, and I think that's probably the disappointing thing on the night. But we did create chances, and we're absolutely devastated not to go through. I mean, as we've said many times, we've got a very stretched squad. Those players are going again and again. And I couldn't be prouder of what they've given me physically, mentally. And I do think we've left everything on the pitch. I don't think we can have any regrets. But of course, we'll learn from it and try and absorb all the things that we need to take into our Premier League form.
I don't think anyone could argue with that. Eddie Howe, the Newcastle manager. Paris Saint-Germain far happier tonight into the round of 16. Their head coach is Luis Enrique.
Because I told them from the first minute we need to win. And in the 85 minutes, more or less, I knew that Milan was winning the match, and I tried to tell them, okay, not too much risk, but you have, if you can, we need to score because we wanted to finish as first, but if not, no risk at all.
Luis Enrique on trying to keep his players focused on their game and not worry about what was happening in St James's Park. Easier said than done, yeah. I think. And it was brilliant fun following both games in Group F as it came to its conclusion. Look, it's the end of the group stage. The competition changes format next season. I think we've had some way to finish it, in truth. So let's try and think of our favourite memories, Richard, Stuart and Chris, from this season's group stage in the Champions League. Richard, did any stand out for you?
I mean, I'm going to be a little bit predictable in that, for me, I mean, putting individual moments of the top class to one side, when it comes down to match day six and you've got a goalkeeper coming up in the last seconds to try and score a goal to take your team through to the next stage of whichever competition it is, and then he comes up and leaves the goal open and the other team go back the other way and try a shot from the halfway line and miss, then as a fan, and that's what we all are when it comes down to it, you're out of your seat and you're jumping around and you're pulling your hair out and your heart's beating, and that's what we love about this wonderful game. So the whole occasion of the final match, but that in microcosm, did it for me.
There are a few better things than a goalkeeper being out of position.
Nothing better.
It's so exciting.
So exciting. Nothing better.
And yeah, I mean, we did have a goalkeeper scoring, of course.
Yeah,
which
we
is
did.
Difficult for that not but to
that,
be.
That'd be up there, Chris.
That
so
be
so
there.
What are you having?
It should be that. I've just thought of that, and I'd already made my mind up. There's been so many.
I can have Ivan Provedel's header.
No, I'm going to go for Rooney Bargi's winner for Copenhagen at home to Manchester United, which was a massive moment in the Danish side going through. Very, very rare to have a Danish team in the round of 16. Parken just exploded that night. They thought they'd lost the game, probably. They came back to win it. So that, for me, would be my moment at the group stage.
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with you on that one, because you think of Copenhagen's budget as well, and the fact that they've made it through to the last 16, and against Manchester United with 3 minutes to go, 3-3, and a lad called Rooney against Manchester United with a winner. Extraordinary. That's the drama you get in this great competition.
Absolutely right. Stuart, thank you very much. Chris and Richard, thank you very much for your company too. That is it. 96 group games later, and we now have the 16 teams will be playing in the UEFA Champions League knockout stage in the new year. The Champions League is back on Tuesday, the 13th of February in 2024. Remember to join us from 8 p.m. CET every night for live commentary, interviews, analysis as the last 16 gets underway in Europe's elite club competition. And remember, download this podcast shortly after every single match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, me, Rob Daly, and the rest of our Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.